It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott is here. Mary Jo Foley. We're going to talk about what modern Windows is. Is it a new version of Windows? And what would its features be? And why Microsoft kind of fumbled the communication about it. Also, it'll be a lot of fun as we watch Paul wait for the tornado to hit his house. It never does. Spoiler alert. It never does. And more Xbox news. Paul always has to sneak that in. It's coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 623, recorded Wednesday, May 29th, 2019. Paul does math. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Grammarly. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. Start writing confidently by going to grammarly.com/windows and get 20% off a Grammarly premium account today. And by Capterra. Find the right tools to make an informed software decision for your business. Visit Capterra's free website at capterra.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft. Paul Thurrott is here from Thurrott.com. Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com, her ZDNet blog. And we will today cover the new Windows. Windows.
Something
future,
else.
Future. Modern future. Modern. Hello, guys.
Hello, Leo.
I saw this... But we've been talking about it for a while, this modern Windows thing. I saw this, and I thought, yeah. You know, that I would be interested in that if they started from the ground up. Are they?
No. That would be nice.
No such thing. Well, it's a major undertaking, but...
Yeah. No, it's not that.
Not that at all.
But before we even get into that, I need to rant.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Because it's a rant related to this.
Uh-oh, I got the gong ready.
Okay,
we're ready.
Okay, so Microsoft is at Computex, like all their PC maker partners. They put out this long blog post talking about all the new PCs that everyone's showing at Computex. Then they throw in this paragraph about a modern OS into it.
That's where I saw it, yeah.
So, guys, we say this on Windows Weekly every week, but can you communicate, please? Can you really? Really?
I want to tell you how much I enjoy the fact that you're ranting about something that I want to rant about, because this is absolutely a huge problem, the way they did this.
But they are enabling innovation and opportunity on the intelligent edge.
The way they did this and where and how is so horrible. Yeah.
Well, and they dropped this thing on us last night at, 8 p.m. or something. I looked at it on my phone. I had to install Word on my phone. It was too small to read because it doesn't properly, scroll around. I went on my computer. I booted the thing up again. I looked at it. I was like, PC, modern OS, IoT, nothing. And so I forwarded it to Mahedi. And I said, I don't know if you're around tonight, but if you are, look through this. See if you see anything interesting. It doesn't look like there's anything important here. I'll look at it again in the morning. Then I looked at it again in the morning, and I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
They may have just dropped the first public hint about Lite OS, probably, or whatever we're calling this thing. And here's the proof. Well, I wouldn't call it proof.
Well, there's a bunch of problems, right?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
So one is, they announce all these PCs at Computex with their partners, and they're all running Windows 10. Some are running probably 1803, some 1809, maybe some even 1903. And then they start talking about this aspirational idea of, here's where we'd like to take our operating system platform in the future. So none of those PCs that are shown are running this.
That's right.
Right? And they probably will not
Windows
be.
10. Right. 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 In fact, all of those PCs are premium computers.
They are.
They're going to be running advanced versions of Windows 10.
Right.
I broke this. Leo's zooming in if you can't see it on the text of the thing. I broke this down in my own article because I often use this as a joke, but it is particularly applicable in this case. If you were to push this through Word and ask it to summarize it, it would come up with a blank page. It almost says nothing.
What's the first sentence isn't even grammatical. These new modern PCs and innovative devices, the ecosystem will continue to build and bring to market in the future. Oh, comma, require a modern operating system. But
unfortunately, they're not getting it.
They're not getting it. They're getting so that's the premise is these are great new PCs which require a modern operating system, not the one they're running.
Yeah. But which you know, because the very first enabler they discuss is seamless updates that are done invisibly in the background.
In the background.
With a deterministic, reliable, and instant
interruptions.
Right. No interruptions. So, you know, okay, so a couple more points. Microsoft uses the word modern just helter-skelter throughout their world.
Yep.
Like,
well,
remember,
UWP
Windows
was briefly modern.
Windows had the modern UI, right?
Wasn't Windows 8 apps were modern, right?
Modern.
For about
10 minutes.
The Metro design language at one point was called modern, I believe, right?
That's right. Oh, you're right. Right.
Windows, Microsoft 365 is known as the modern desktop. Yep. That's how Microsoft pitches it. Right. So this word modern is super loaded in the Microsoft world. And then they start talking about a modern operating system. And they have all these goals, like you said, the seamless updates. They've got seamlessly switching between Wi-Fi and LTE, 5G.
5G specifically.
Right.
Do we think that any of these are actually going to support 5G?
No. Well, maybe that Lenovo device that they wouldn't say which version of Windows it was running?
The ones they announced in this thing specifically.
By the way, these aren't merely enablers. I see in the second paragraph, they're enablers and delighters.
Delighters. Okay, so
and
that is the one.
Vision.
That's not a word. Is delighters a word?
I sent Microsoft a note back when I saw delighters, and I said, and by the way, delighters is not a word.
That's awesome.
Well, and I said, everyone's going to make fun of you for using it.
they use the word vision there, which means it's not what we have today. And then for the first time, modern is capitalized.
Oh, that means it's a proper
modern
noun.
Modern desktop is too. Modern desktop is
a
capitalized
term. No, but nowhere else in this.
Nowhere else. Okay. Nice. This doesn't who wrote this?
I don't know. Right. And so everyone listening, we're not being grammar nitpickers here as much as it sounds like we are. We're just trying to say when you read this, you don't know what this is discussing.
It makes no sense.
We're absolutely not being nitpickers. One thing that we have developed carefully honed skills for because we cover Microsoft is parsing their language to understand what it is they're really trying to say.
Right.
Now, what's beautiful about this is this could very closely follow another story that we'll have coming up later about this Windows Home Ultra thing, where they could come back later and say, guys, we never said anything about another operating system. We're not talking about anything that's not Windows. You know,
it's the future of Windows, maybe.
They could completely deny this. But here's the thing. Reading this, and anyone watching the show should read this. I mean, if you're interested in Windows at all, which it seems like you would be, why does it say brick wall under my name, Leo?
What are you talking about, Paul?
Anyway.
I'm trying to figure out where you are, and the only geographic feature I can see is a brick wall.
So I believe, now this is just this part's an opinion for sure. I think this is their first public feeler for what they're planning, and I think it's LightOS. I think what they're trying to get into people's heads is the idea that there'll be this other thing that will be a modern take on an operating system. By the way,
is that lower or uppercase?
Yes. Well, in that case, lower.
Okay.
More than one person has said to me or has said on Twitter or wherever in comments, it sounds like they're describing iOS. And that's very insightful because we know from dealing with Terry Myerson in the past that his plan for the App Store ecosystem and everything was not to model Android, right? But was rather to be more like iOS. And he meant that literally in the good and bad sense. Like he wanted it to be a walled garden, protected, locked off. And that's very interesting because if you kind of read it, it's like one of those things, change the words, change it from modern OS to iOS. Mm-hmm. And you're like, this pretty much does describe iOS.
It's really I would say it's a manifesto for what an operating system should be.
Yeah, yes. I feel like that too.
I don't feel like it's doable.
Me neither.
None of the existing operating systems, including Chrome OS or iOS, do seamless updates with no interruptions. In every case, you have to reboot. Secure by default, that's a nice aspirational goal, but as we know, undoable. Always connected, never have to worry about a dead spot, but what if I'm in a dead spot?
Mm-hmm. Well, by the way, just so, in case it's not obvious, there are a couple of terms in there that are Microsoft classics. Secure by default goes back to Trustworthy Computing Initiative 2002, I think it was. Always connected, right, is the always connected PC initiative that Microsoft and Intel both have, both with different hyphenations. And then there are some actual brand new terms in here, which
Cloud
I think are very interesting.
By the way, is hyphenated.
Yeah, right. Intel hyphenates always connected. Microsoft doesn't. Multi-sense is interesting, right? Because it's not describing anything we're not comfortable with already today for the most part. Maybe gaze is a little different, but I don't believe I've ever seen that term. I could be, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but
They define it as people can use pen, voice, touch, even gaze, whatever input user method wants to.
Yeah, so gaze is like the stuff in HoloLens where with your eyes you can look up to the corner and essentially select.
Samsung's had that for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
With mixed success.
Yeah, but Samsung is modern. You know, that makes sense.
Yeah, actually, they could be describing iOS, except for seamless updates, secure by default, always connected, and sustained performance.
By the way, the phrase form factor agility, which is brand new to me, is another way of saying one Windows, right? It's this notion that you're going to have a single modern OS in this case. We're kind of redefining things. That's going to work on multiple form factors. It's just a cute new way of saying it.
Mm-hmm. Form factor agility means they have the right sensor support and posture awareness to enable the breadth of innovative form factors and applications our partner system will deliver. In other words, the sensors are built in to say you can use this in, you know, lying on your back, sitting upright, leaning over.
Really, when I hear form factor agility, I think phone, tablet, PC.
iOS.
Yeah. You know?
But I mean, I think this is aspirational. It's a manifesto.
It is.
I think every operating system probably should aspire to this.
And I feel like this has been their manifesto.
Like the Unabomber's manifesto.
This is the same manifesto they've had, right? Like always connected. That's always that's been a goal for years. And instant on, right? All these things, connected standby, all these things. And I feel like they've never gotten there.
That this is marketing nonsense.
Maybe.
Actually, it's worse than marketing nonsense because they're not actually selling anything.
You know what I feel like it is?
They're selling a vision.
It's a cut and paste of an internal document.
I kind of do too. And you know what? We thought they were going to talk about Windows Lite at Build. And then when they didn't, you kind of wonder if the team who was at Computex didn't get the message and they were like, oh, wait, they announced that, didn't they? Oh, no, they didn't. Whoops.
Oh, I guess we just did. So by the way, I've sort of, like you probably, you have to, because again, we write about Microsoft, we're semi-obsessed on this topic. I think about this stuff, like what was the point of this or why wouldn't they have done this at Build, et cetera, et cetera. I have to think with the timing of think about when PCs are announced. CES, announced but not released. Computex, announced and released in time for the back to school season, right? And then, of course, at IFA in the fall, in time for, announced and released in time for the holidays. If you go back to Build, Build is obviously closer to Computex, but it's between CES and Computex. My thinking is, they wanted to announce this, but there was someone in the partner ecosystem or something who said, guys, we can't announce a new operating system in May and then later in May announce a ton of new computers running the old operating system. We can't do that. That's crazy.
Plus, they're not ready. Lite's not ready. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, they don't want to totally tip their hand and say, hey, we got this thing. It's called Windows Lite. It has Windows Core OS inside, and here's how it's going to handle updates. Does it exist yet? No. Is it on any test devices? Is it anywhere? No.
The week of Build, I heard they were still debating what this thing even was.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not anywhere near ready, right?
Right. So my guess now, so anyway, given the fact that they did say, okay, look, they said it. It almost like someone, Leo, I think said it sounds like something from, or one of you said it sounds like something from an internal document. It does. In fact, I kind of wonder if someone copied and pasted it by mistake into the press release.
Because I kind of wondered that too.
It doesn't make sense in the flow of the document, but okay, it's out there. So when would
you mean
the next
time? They accidentally pasted too much?
Right? Well, it feels like that.
No.
Here's a bunch of computers.
And they won't run this operating system, but maybe someday in the perfect world.
The other thing they have to explain when they ever do decide to start talking publicly about Windows Core OS and Lite, they have to explain to people, okay, so your Windows 10 is not going away, right? Because Microsoft and its partners are continuing to develop on Windows 10. There are Windows 10 test builds coming out through next year already, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Microsoft 365 uses Windows 10 as it exists today. So you can't just say to them, hey, can we get this thing over here? It's not even going to be called Windows. So yeah, that's the future. And you're running this past, I guess.
This piece of crap that you're running is, yeah.
Sorry about that.
It's a tough marketing message. There's some things we kind of know about this Lite OS stuff. There's some things we kind of speculate.
Yeah.
When I think about this, I think of something that is very much like Chrome OS. And I have to say, in a world in which people mostly use their phones to do computing tasks, but sometimes need a bigger screen and a keyboard, I actually think a system like that makes sense. And in the same way that Microsoft taking Chromium and turning it into a non-Google version of that makes sense, a Microsoft Chromebook kind of thing makes sense. Mm-hmm. For normal people, it's fine. And Windows 10 becomes like the workstation OS. It's the thing for complex tasks, for developers, for engineers, scientists, gamers, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's fine. It's just that we don't have this thing yet. I just made up what I just said. It doesn't exist. Yeah. So it makes sense, but lots of things make sense.
The positioning, how they position this and explain who it's for, and if it comes out in stages, which I bet it will, Win32... Yeah. The ability to run Win32 apps be there from day one.
That's the crux of it. Is
it kind of is
app compatibility, because that's what killed Windows 10s and S mode and Windows RT before it.
Right.
Those systems also suffered from looking just like Windows. They were Windows, and so when you get this thing that is Windows and it doesn't run Windows apps, it's very confusing. Lite OS, from what I've seen, it's actually going to look a lot more like Chrome OS unless they change it. Mm-hmm. I think that will help. But if the thing could run, even if it ran them poorly through virtualization or remotely or however it works, that would be better than not being able to run those apps.
That's their goal. Like I've talked to people who said it is going to run Win32 apps, but the when is the question. And if it's virtualization, is that going to be good enough? Like you said,
speaking of which. The other thing is, if you read through this document, we talked about replacing the words modern OS with iOS. The other thing you could replace them with is a Qualcomm Snapdragon powered PC.
Oh yeah,
because it reads a lot like that.
Well, and that is the future, right? I mean,
So I wonder if that's part of the vagueness of it and the future leaning nature of it is that they are in fact waiting on the Qualcomm 8CX, which we now know is delayed until next year, to happen, because that's what they're relying on. Again, just speculating, but in the sense that we have to read between the lines here, because that's what we have to do.
You know, part of me wonders, and this is why we're not a Computex, but I would love to be in a way, because maybe they threw this paragraph in there because they're going to start telling partners now about Lite, officially telling them, right? And so if you're at Computex, you have to have something you could point to and say, see, we kind of gave people an indication of where we're going. And here's what we want you to do, partner.
But here's the problem I have with this whole, aside from the obviousness of the terribleness of how this thing was released or announced. They just had a conference called Build. It's for developers. It is by definition future leaning. We know that they were struggling to find good, exciting content. This would have been good and exciting. And by the way, from a communications perspective, that would have been an ideal time for Microsoft to go public, even if it was vague, and say, hey, look, here's what we're thinking. This is a vision. But we want to engage the community. And the community includes literally the enthusiasts, the insider program, enterprise, developers, partners. This is what we're thinking. Let's gather feedback and let's make sure we're all going together into this forward, into this future that makes sense for everybody. Right? But they don't do that. They cut and paste something from an internal document, throw it in the middle of a press release, and hope that nobody notices it. It's just bizarre.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you they're going to come back and say, guys, there is nothing in that statement that says anything about anything that's not Windows. They're going
to. They already gave me that statement. Would you like to hear
it? There you go. Yes, please.
I said, so that paragraph about the, modern operating system, what about that?
Yep.
There's no hidden meaning here, and there is no news. That's exactly what
they
said.
I disagree.
And if asked to testify in front of Congress, I will read it out loud.
Could you define is, please?
I really think, I feel like there's this huge tug of war going on.
Oh,
I do.
Oh, it's an internal battle.
I feel like there's maybe like Kevin Gallo's group is saying, guys, we got to tell people about this. Like it's coming and, you know, it might not be till next year, but we got to tell them about Windows Core OS and like where we're going and what's happening. Then there's the other people who are like, yeah, we got tens of thousands of people about to move from Windows 7 to Windows 10. This is a really bad time to tell them, hey, your operating system's obsolete.
Good point.
Actually, but you know what, though? What stinks is that Microsoft wasn't ready for this. In other words, knowing that the Windows 7 end of life was going to occur, what they should have done is had that system ready to go. Because here is something you could, I don't want to call it an upgrade, but migrate to from Windows 7 that would be a material improvement for a lot of people because it would be simpler. To use
if
and
it doesn't
manage,
run Win32 apps.
Well, I agree. But in an enterprise, what if it could run them remotely? I mean, Chrome OS can do that.
Yeah. That's the one. I bet that's one of the big things. Like, do we announce this without Win32 and then everybody just calls it Windows 10S again? Or do we not do that?
Right. They certainly cannot withstand a third strike on that.
I don't know. It just felt so rushed. Maybe it wasn't, but it felt rushed. It felt unready. It felt like a weird way to start bringing that conversation into focus. And I was just kind of like, really? So when I wrote about this, I said, I'm not even sure this is Lite OS. I mean, I kind of thought it was, but I'm like, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, because they use the word modern a lot and they have a lot of aspirational goals every year with Windows. So maybe they're not tipping their hand on that. Maybe.
If only there was some clear way to explain that what they meant was this is aspirational for Windows 10. If only. Oh, wait, there is. It's called the English language. You know, again, you said it. I mean, we complain about this all the time. Their inability to communicate is legendary. But it's not even funny anymore. It's like it's just sad. I mean, there is no reason for the poorness of this communication. It's embarrassing.
It should have been. Honestly, it would have been valuable as a separate post.
Yeah.
You know, I think these new laptops look great, and yes, they're running Windows 10. But do a separate post saying, hey, we have a vision for what a good operating system should be. And
it's
here's
funny you
our
say
vision.
That, Leo. They actually had three separate posts, and this was only one of them. And for some reason, they thought to jam it into the middle of two concrete announcements.
Yeah, it's a strange place to put it. But I think that it would be an appropriate post to saying, hey, look, we want to throw this out there because we think we want to start a conversation about what the perfect operating system would have.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? That would have been a great way to do that. I like your thinking on that because – if you did it as this is where we're going in the future, then again, you get into that problem upgrade or not upgrade, right?
No. Yeah, don't say
But if you just
it.
Say, we're just thinking at a high level about these concepts, and we want you guys to weigh in.
I suspect
that would have been great.
That's also honest. Unless you think they're building this, but how would
they
you?
They are building it. They're building it.
Is it light? Is this the Windows light?
Yeah, definitely.
I wish they were building it from scratch.
The thing is, though, listen, it's the virtuous cycle thing again, right? So, Lite OS is not a completely new thing. It's still based on the same componentized, you know, Windows system, whatever. There are things they can bring to Lite OS that may seem new and exciting, but many of those things are going to be applicable to Windows as well. I mean, for all of the negatives that surround any classic desktop operating system, complexity and the terribleness of updating and so forth, I mean, there are numerous benefits. And for people who do certain things with a computer, that type of machine is going to be a necessity forever for them, right? And that's fine. I mean, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be positioned like we're replacing Windows.
No.
You know, we're augmenting
Windows. This is our goal.
Windows.
Yeah. This is where we would like to take Windows.
Right.
Yeah.
And it'll still be called Windows 10.
Right. And if you could say that some of the things were coming back to regular Windows 10.
Of course.
That would calm a lot of
people. Look at all that stuff. In other words, it's like, how does Instant On work on a PC today, really, right? Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's kind of instant. Sometimes it's like, why isn't the thing turning on? You know, it's a computer. It's a complicated architecture. It's a complicated system. It just doesn't work all the time. We know that. This is the truth, right? So The goal is for that to always work. I don't think it can work with Windows, but maybe it can work with this future thing, which will be simpler and whatever.
Right. So they haven't even described Windows Core OS publicly yet, but it's going to be the underpinnings. We are strongly confident.
Admitted that exists publicly.
No, they haven't.
Describe it.
I've asked people about it, and they're like, "Yeah, we're not ready to talk about it yet." So they've said it, but not like in a blog post or formally or whatever. But I think they need to start talking about that and explain, okay, this is how we're going to do this. We're going to take this thing. We're going to extend one core. We're going to try to do better with it. We're going to make this thing called Windows Core OS. Then we're going to put shells on top of it. You know, all the things that we've been writing about that no one's ever written officially from Microsoft. I think it would go a long way to calming people down and just say, this is where we're going in the future. This is aspirational. But we think some of these concepts that we're working on and building already for this thing, Windows Core OS, are going to come back into the Windows that you know and love and make it better.
This assumes two things. One, that they can communicate, which, hey, we know they can't. And second, that they actually have a plan. You know, I mean, I'm sure they have ideas.
I know.
You know, I'm not sure it's as well thought out as what you just described. I think that's part of the problem. It goes back and forth. Maybe there are differing opinions about what the right way to do this is, et cetera, et cetera. I unfortunately, they're kind of hemming and hawing their way into a future in which, you know, no one's going to care anymore by the time they figure it out.
I mean, what if they wait until October when we think they're having a hardware announcement then? What if they wait till then to talk about this?
That's actually when I think they are going to talk about it next, just the October. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a long time from now.
How do you know they're having a hardware announcement in October? What's that? What is that?
Leo, you know.
People talk.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Drinks are served.
Yeah.
Okay. Lips are loosened.
You kind of buried the lead there. That's okay.
Well, we don't know all of what they'll announce there. I mean, before they've had hardware announcements where we thought there were going to be some brand new form factors and... No.
That's right.
But October's 5 months off. I mean,
they are going to have an October announcement or event or whatever.
Okay.
Right before Ignite, which is their next big conference, right? So.
Okay. Good. Yep. Well, that's of interest. Do you think that'll be time enough to have Windows Lite available? It won't be the new Qualcomm.
No, I think it will be a slightly more formal discussion around the vagueness that they just described here. In other words, you know, you may have seen we talk about a modern OS. Now we're going to talk about how we think we're going to get to it. And it maybe even here's the name or, you know, here's rough timing on how this is going to look. There will be Surface devices because there will. There will be third-party devices because there will. I think Mary Jo referenced the Lenovo announcement from the past month where they had a folding computer and it's going to run some kind of Windows, but they wouldn't say what it was even when asked. Which is really weird because, you know, you look at that and you think it's going to run Windows 10, right? And they're like, yeah, you know, we'll see what it runs. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. That's a hint right there.
Yeah.
Because they would be telling the OEMs now.
Yeah. You would assume. Yeah.
So let's talk. Unfortunately, that weird paragraph kind of destroyed the impact of what I thought was kind of interesting. I mean, these new PCs at Computex are kind of cool.
Yeah. And you know what? They're interesting, right? They're not the same old, which is kind of good.
Here's what I like about this. I just wrote an editorial about the PC generally. It's like, here's this market that is, by all accounts, kind of failing, right? It's two-thirds the size it used to be. PC sales are down every year for 7 years in a row. It is the market itself is smaller than the market for smartphones. On an annual basis, it's like one-third the size from a... Actually, it's less than one-third. It's probably one-fifth the size from a it's less than one-fifth, too, whatever. It's a tiny, tiny percentage the size of the smartphone market from a sales perspective. And yet, like I just said, there are three major PC announcement events every year. There's only really one for smartphones, not counting the fact that obviously Samsung and Apple are big enough they do their own events. There's some innovation occurring here. And one of the neat side effects, you know, we talk a lot about the negative stuff around... They're not selling as many PCs. You know, Windows isn't as popular. People are using phones. But the interesting thing is there's a positive side effect to all this. And the PC, it has really returned to what it was in the beginning, you know, which is a productivity machine, essentially. Earliest people use it for gaming, et cetera, et cetera. But it's kind of like a purpose-driven kind of a device now. And I have to say, I really like that. It's not getting muddled up with all this other stuff that we do on phones now, right? I don't have to worry about Facebook or Instagram on my PC. I'm a writer. My stuff is web browser. It's writing utilities and you know, a graphics editor or whatever. It's super purpose driven. And if you look at these PCs, what you see are mostly premium PCs that kind of target that kind of a new PC market. It's like the modern PC. It's, you know, there's innovation occurring, multi-screen, folding screen, weird, you know, accordion PC from Intel, if you saw that, was kind of interesting. Mm. But it just, it seems purposeful now. Whereas in the past, you know, Windows 8 timeframe, there was kind of a spaz around, oh my God, we got to stop the iPad. You know, we got to turn these things into tablets, you know?
Yep.
And today it seems like a little more thoughtful. And I like where the PC's at. And if you can see it in that list of PCs that Leo was showing that are in the Microsoft post.
Like, you know, this Acer's cool. This is like, yep, a Surface Studio laptop.
Yeah.
And yep, they say with 100% color accuracy, which is pretty cool.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I talked about Acer in the past, but the big thing there is Acer's customers were coming to it and saying, look, we're creative professionals. We need a particular kind of computer. But the only computers you sell that meet those needs are gaming computers.
Right.
And they look like boy racer toys.
Right.
And they
I get that call a lot. People, yeah, you know, graphics designers say, should I buy a gaming computer or video editors?
Well, a lot of them were, because they didn't have much of a choice. So now they make computers custom designed for that market.
And this would a graphics artist would love this Acer, I think.
Yeah, it makes sense.
This is another unusual hinge design. This is the ZenBook from Asus. It has two screens. It's got a big screen and a little screen, and I don't really know how that'll work, but it's kind of cool. Sure. I've been seeing raves for the new Dell 13, XPS 13 2-in-1. People really are excited about this. This is a 10th generation Intel processor. Look at the Omen. That is wild. That's from the HP. That is wild. So it's a beast, another two-screen device.
Yep.
So there's some really interesting stuff out there, I think.
Yeah, there is. Mm-hmm.
And that's something Microsoft's right to tout. The innovation there is no innovation happening anywhere else in the, I mean, Apple's Macs, for crying out loud. innovation is we've got a different membrane in our keyboard.
Yeah, it's just as clacky as the last one.
Yeah. But the membrane's now nylon. It's like, come on, that's not innovation. And of course, they're trying to woo away a lot of developers and graphics designers and pros from the Apple camp. And I think they're going to win.
Yeah, I think Apple has underserved that market and gotten away with it for a really long time. And just things like touch and pen, you know, the ability to bring the screen down and write right on the screen, not have to have a separate digitizer and the complexity that goes along with that. It's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, this now. if you're using Adobe software, then Windows is a great choice because it's identical functionality, and I think that's probably true of a number of other computers. Mm. I don't know if Microsoft's benefiting as much though, because I suspect some Apple professionals will put Linux on it, not even just a. I mean, but that maybe.
Yeah, but those computers don't. I mean, I bet you couldn't buy those without Windows. So I mean, technically,
that's Microsoft doesn't make their money.
They're getting paid.
You still get And the smart thing to do, which is what I did with the ThinkPad X1 Extreme, is dual boot. So you get the best of both worlds. So, very nice. I see innovation.
I do too.
Let's take a little time out. I want to do an ad. I just have an urge.
We're being punished.
Punish you all. No, actually, this is something you're going to like, Paul, because you use it. It's Grammarly. We know Paul loves Grammarly. Unsolicited, many times you've said how much you love Grammarly.
I do.
I think part of the purpose of this ad, from my point of view, is to explain that Grammarly is not a grammar checker. I mean, it does that, but that's really, and the name kind of makes you think, oh, it's like a spell checker only with grammar. And yes, the free version, that's what it does. It does spell checking and grammar checking. But it does a whole lot more, especially the premium version. So I want you to think of Grammarly more as a writing assistant, somebody looking over your shoulder to help you write better, to look and sound smarter. You can improve your communication at school and at work and almost anywhere with Grammarly, because it's context aware. It knows if you're writing a blog post or an essay, you know, an academic, if you're writing academic stuff versus a work memo. And it helps you pick the right words, the right choices, even the right style. It'll even tell you, you might want to soften this up. It's a little brusque. Grammarly comes in a variety of form factors to fit your usage. There's online browser extensions for every browser, Firefox, Chrome, Safari, Edge. There's a desktop editor. There's a mobile keyboard, so you can use it on iOS, Android, Windows, and Mac. Spelling, grammar, advanced punctuation, structure, style within context, vocabulary. Yeah, vocabulary suggestions. It's awesome. Conciseness. I love the readability score. That's very helpful as you're writing something to know, hey, this might be, and for me, this is kind of a problem. I tend to have, I make it too hard to understand. Microsoft could have used this in that blog post. Accomplish your goals with helps from Grammarly. No more email typos on your phone. Close more deal at work this year because your emails are more effective. It's not just grammar. It's more effective. Polish your resume to get that new job. There's nothing worse than a misspelled resume. That's bad. But it'll even help you use the right words and phrases to accurately explain what you do. It's exactly what you're looking for. Have you ever showed your resume to somebody and asked that, what do you think? Grammarly is that somebody who can do such a good job. Now, here's the deal. 20% off Grammarly Premium right now if you go to grammarly.com/windows. That's a pretty darn good deal. Grammarly.com/windows. Even if you want to try the free version, please use that URL because that's telling them, hey, I heard it on Windows Weekly. Grammarly, we're the only people who have that URL. Grammarly, GRAMMARLY.com/windows. Just think, there's no E in grammar. Grammar. GrammarLee.com/windows. 20% off your premium account right now. Somebody's asking if Grammarly understands emoji. That's interesting. I don't know what happens when you use emoji in Grammarly.
I don't know because I'm a writer.
Yeah, I use words. Use your words. Maybe that's what they say. Use your words.
Use your words. Yep.
I think emoji, I wouldn't put them in a blog post or a resume. Definitely not in a resume. But I think emoji are very communicative. And in a way, they solve a problem with texting because texting doesn't do nuance.
The Egyptians figured this out 4,000 years ago, Leo.
Yeah. Send an emoji resume. Just see what happens.
You know, if you want to work on the emoji team at Microsoft, it might be a good idea to do that.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Yeah,
or if the company actually hires you, you should just respond with, you know, I'm not sure I want to work for you.
You fell for this. Not good.
Mm-hmm. It's embarrassing.
Not good. All right. Lenovo, you didn't mention this, but Lenovo's experiencing growth. Yeah.
So Lenovo just reported, I have to look at this to get it right because there's a lot of records in here, but they just reported their quarterly and annual financial results, right? So for the year, it was record revenues for the year. It was the first time they hit over $50 billion, 12.5% growth year over year in revenues. What's responsible for this? Their PC business. Their PC business is 38.5 billion of that 51 billion. And it has grown market share this past year alone 23.4%.
Wow.
What? What?
Because there's no more chip shortage, right?
Yeah, sure. So, no, I don't know.
Did they say if it's the ThinkPad line or the Idea line?
No, they didn't split it down like that. But if you, by the way, look at their various lineups, which include those things and a few others, and let's not forget the new ThinkBook, right?
Let's forget that.
Let's forget it. Actually, yeah. But this is a good example of that thing I was just talking about, where very purpose driven devices. You know, they don't just explode stuff out into the marketplace. They have a couple of tablets. I mean, they do have a couple of tablets, and they have the 2-in-1 type stuff. But the bread and butter over there is just traditional PC form factor, productivity focused. Mm. You know, they don't really serve the low end of the market, except maybe in education, but maybe let's say from the mid part of the market up to premium. And it's awesome lineup of PCs, and they're number one.
So did they mention Windows 7 upgrades? No, right? That wasn't part of the reason for the growth? No.
They didn't say.
No.
Actually, they specifically credited, I think it was just premium and gaming.
Ah.
See if that gets
in
there.
So that is the ThinkPad, among others.
I didn't put it in my article, but I believe they literally said premium and gaming.
Interesting. Hmm. You know, that could happen if they had an unusual number of enterprise buys or something like that, right? I mean, you know, if one company, you know, IBM comes along and buys 40,000 ThinkPads, that would, that would do it.
Well, a year ago, they were number two. Yeah. Since then, they've experienced over 23% growth in PC sales. That's in 2019, or 2018, 2019. That's amazing. That's nuts.
I've contributed a little bit to that. That's my PC of choice, although I'm really kind of eyeballing this new XPS 13 when that comes out.
Yeah.
That's a sweet machine. I'll tell you, the disappointment on the ThinkPad X1 Extreme is battery life. It's just not great. It's a couple of 3 hours, 4 hours. I'm so used to having, I want 8 or 9 hours. I want a day.
Yeah, once you have that, it's kind of hard to give it up.
It's hard to go back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we used to be happy. 3 hours, that's great.
Yep.
Windows 10. Apparently, Dell is saying there is a Windows 10 Home Ultra.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, good question. I believe what that is the thing that Paul wrote about a year ago that was called Windows 10 Home Advanced, which we think is a new edition of Windows 10 that Microsoft still has not introduced, but that will do something more than plain old home. It'll unlock some new features or add some new capabilities, and Microsoft will charge OEMs more per copy for it.
Right, right.
That's my guess.
By the way, so you're correct. Just two things real quick. You could think about it as the home/consumer version of workstation on the pro side, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a pro with workstation. And also, when this was envisioned, there was still this notion of modes in Windows. And so they had S mode, right? And S mode was this thing. It's still, but it was this thing where you could transition out of S mode for free and get the, in this case, the full version of home. So you're running home in S mode. Maybe you were running pro in S mode. You could run enterprise in S mode. The Windows Home Advanced or Ultra, if that's what we're calling it or whatever, the idea was that was going to be a paid upgrade, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's something that any home user could go to, just like any home user today or a pro user today could go to workstation, but you have to pay for it. And so it's kind of a way of making upgrades that make sense rather than just arbitrarily making upgrades, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the thing that threw people off was Neo Wen discovered this in the spec sheet from Dell for a new 2-in-1 that they introduced at Computex. So Microsoft gave Neo Wen this statement. Here's the exact statement. There is no new version of Windows called Windows 10 Home Ultra. Okay. So if you're like Paul and I, and you've been around this goat rodeo a couple times, you would say to Microsoft, okay, so there's not a new version of Windows 10 called Home Ultra. Is there a version of Windows 10 Home called something else that Dell had the wrong name for?
Would you call it a mode, maybe? Are we going to, you know, and again, it sounds like we're being nitpicky, but you have to do this with Microsoft.
You do. So I just said, is there another version? Does it have a different name? When will it be available? And my answer was, regarding your additional questions, Ms. Foley, Microsoft has nothing further to share.
That's amazing.
Which I replied, not a denial.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. That's not a denial. So I do think this thing exists. And when they're going to announce it and why they haven't yet, I don't know.
I can say that a year ago, February, we saw a bunch of Microsoft internal documentation. They were absolutely planning to release something called Windows Home Advanced. It was all
last year, right?
You know, advanced processor support. The idea was that, you know, you got a typical home PC, like a Surface device. It would come with, you know, as an individual, it would come with Windows 10 Home. But if you got a gaming PC, which supported multiple cores, higher end, like an i9 processor, whatever, dual graphics, maybe, whatever the delineation was, you would get Home Advanced at the time, which would be a more expensive SKU for the PC maker to purchase, but would be applicable to that kind of hardware.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, I guess.
It does.
Funny how Microsoft goes back and forth with fewer SKUs, more SKUs, fewer SKUs, more SKUs.
Well, you know what it is? So there's always been a kind of an arbitrary dividing line between home and pro, right? Going all the way back to XP, which was, technically the first time they kind of did this, right? Because XP brought consumer and old Windows and NT Windows together into one system. And so now you have home and business all doing one system. And how do you do that? And so it's kind of arbitrary. Like certain features would be not in home, would be in pro. And I think people think of them as step ups for each other. And what Microsoft, the plan as of last year, which maybe has changed, was these things are not supersets of each other. Home is something over on the side by itself. Pro is something over by itself. They're not, one of them is not an upgrade for the other one. And so, you know, when you hear about this, you're like, well, this is something that sits between home and pro. And no, it's not. It's an upgrade for home. It's not. They really want these things to be separate. The way you know that's true, by the way, is when they released the new Surface PCs last fall, they came with home for the first time. And people were freaking out because previous versions came with pro. And that's perceived to be the higher end version. And it's like, no, it's the version that's more appropriate for that market. If you bought Surface from their business site or from a reseller, like a business partner, you would have gotten Pro. You also would have paid $100 more for it, by the way. Mm. And so, you know, people today can upgrade from home to Pro if that's what they want to do. But, you know, for me, Mary Jo and I, for normal human beings, like home is the appropriate version to have. Mm. There's nothing in Pro that you need.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's funny to watch people speculating what they would love to see Microsoft have in a Home Advanced or a Home Ultra. The first and biggest request is no more Candy Crush and all those apps. Like I would pay more if I didn't have to have those.
A lot of people.
BitLocker comes up a lot, right? Yeah, like I would pay to get
Pro.
BitLocker.
Well, you do. Yeah. You get Pro.
So
yeah, but what if you could have Home with BitLocker?
There's two things I bought Pro for: Docker and BitLocker.
Mm. Yeah, BitLocker. So is support is in home. You just can't create a BitLocker disk. So if you have a BitLocker encrypted disk, you can still use it with home.
But you can't turn it on a new disk. So
right.
Would you BitLock something? I guess you could.
Yeah, but you know, so the thing they've been moving to for home users is this notion of full disk encryption. That's not exactly BitLocker.
That's
the BitLocker is something that can be managed in an environment and so forth. I mean,
that's fine.
You only see it on system disks. I mean, it's fine, except you can't actually put it on like a USB disk.
My standard recommendation for anybody with an SSD is you must encrypt full disk encryption before you put anything on it. You have to.
Yep.
So, which means, I mean, Windows Home people are kind of left in the cold. And you don't have to download FuraCrypt or something.
So that was part of the arbitrary nature of the division of those two SKUs, right? It's like they were like, we have to figure out something.
No, I understand.
You know?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I don't think the Hyper-V restriction is unrealistic. You are a pro
although,
if you want that.
Although, Home is going to get a kind of a slimmed down version of Hyper-V when they start having the Linux kernel show up.
Right.
That's going to run in Hyper-V.
Yeah, of course. And presumably, you can use Docker and the LWS.
Again, it's arbitrary. Like you understand, Home supports Hyper-V. They've just turned it off. You know, it's like back in the day.
But wait a minute, I can't turn on LWS in Home, can I?
No, that's a good point.
So you won't get the Linux kernel. No, no, no.
Right.
No, they've said the Linux kernel will be in Home. They've said that.
But
I know.
I don't know. They've said it will.
So maybe they're going to turn LWS on for Home. That would be another big thing. Am I wrong? But I think that's why I bought Pro. LWS, Docker, and BitLocker.
LWS? We'll I mean the subsystem. The
Linux subsystem. WSL. I got the... I'm dyslexic. Yeah. WSL.
Yeah. The way they described how the kernel will run is like a really... like stripped down version of Hyper-V, whatever that really means. I'm guessing it means
servers. I mean, it's.
But it may mean you can only use it for the Linux kernel and not use it in any other way.
If you're going to do that, you would do it using the Hyper-V capabilities of the microprocessor because otherwise it'd be inefficient. So they have to, right? They have to provide that.
We've kind of moved on from this, but you have to wonder if this LightOS won't implement Windows app compat in the same way. a lightweight version.
Because then you could sandbox everything.
Yeah, they've said virtualization. The sources have said virtualization, not Microsoft. Yeah.
Well, that's one of the ways that you do that security thing. Everything's isolated.
Right. Yeah. And in that blog post that we keep going back to from Computex, they talk about separating the state from the operating system and the apps from the operating system.
Yeah.
So
what a weird thing to say, right? That was very specific.
That was really weird to throw that in there. That was and this is WCOS people who know what we're talking about over here.
That's not Windows 10. That's not Windows 10.
But they have. But the point is, I think Microsoft has this sandbox technology and they're all in on sandboxing, it seems to be.
Yeah. Right? Oh, for sure. Sure.
Yep. So that's really what they're saying is sandboxing.
Yeah.
But as far as, this Windows 10 Home Ultra thing to me maps very much to the modern OS thing, because they'll come back and say, we didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. And clearly what they're saying is that they did say something.
Yeah.
I think we're getting a deluge. Hold, please. I think my house is about to fall down.
Oh, yeah. You're getting real bad winds. They said tornado warning here today.
Oh, my God. A New York City tornado warning.
Yeah, that's something you don't want to hear, right?
Can you imagine?
Yeah, we got a tornado warning here as well, and a hail warning.
Yeah.
Well, they don't warn us.
Yeah,
this is how
the apocalypse starts.
Yeah. Wow. Did you get an emergency alert on your phone?
Yeah.
Wow. That must have scared the hell out of people that night.
I blame the modern OS. That's what I blame.
Lehigh Valley Live says there's a tornado watch in effect through 8 p.m., Paul.
Yeah. Well, if I got cut off.
A tornado is a rapidly rotating
column
of air. Well, there were something like 82 tornadoes in a 72-hour period.
There is a trailer park pretty close to here. I assume... Yeah, that has something to do with it.
12 days, more than 100 tornadoes in the Midwest.
Yeah.
So.
This has been an unusually wet spring, but also the severity of the storms, like the heaviness of the rain is notable. Mm-hmm. You usually get this kind of rainfall like once a year, and it's really interesting. And then like after the eighth time, you're like, okay, seriously, stop.
Well, you're close enough. I mean, you're not so far from Missouri and all these other places that are just flooded. Serious flooding.
Spiritually as well as geographically.
we won't go into that. MK Ultra. I knew there was something with Ultra. MK Ultra.
I think I used an MK Ultra graphic for my story.
Nice. That's an inside. People who talk to goats thing, right?
Although, so the funny thing is, when I heard that, what I thought of first was not MK Ultra, but rather a project I thought that NASA had done, which was sort of like Blue Book, like a UFO thing. And there is something like that. There's some kind of an Ultra project or something. But
Harry Reid, back when he was a senator, funded that. The funding kind of dissipated, but he really believed in UFOs. There's actually a story in the Sunday Times on UFOs, which made
we don't really think these are extraterrestrial, but we don't.
But look at the video. It's like, well, what is it then?
Yeah.
Sure like to know.
No, but what's the assumption that...
Carsten, I'm sorry, our Harvard expert is here.
Our Harvard expert.
Okay, LSD. Okay. So... Carsten informs me, our savant tells me that Jedi was the men talking to goats.
Okay.
The press secret project. But how did they know about Jedi back then? There was no Star Wars.
It was probably an acronym or something.
Oh, it was after Star Wars. It was that recently. And then MK Ultra was the one where they dosed people with LSD just to see what happened.
Yeah, that's what I do sometimes.
Yeah. Just to see what happens. It was a secret mind control program. See, I saw the words mind control and I thought of goats. That was my mistake.
That was like the George Clooney movie with the man who talked to goats.
Talked to goats, yeah. That was apparently a Jedi.
Okay.
Which doesn't make sense, but I you know what? He went to Harvard. I can't deny it. 1903. I was stunned. Yesterday when Steve Gibson gave us a rundown of new features in Windows 10 1903. The man who's still using Windows XP, apparently, I don't know, he even told us how to force a 1903 update.
Okay, I'm not going to do that.
Do not do that. I tried to stop him. I said, Steve, I don't think that's a good idea.
But they did release it, and we just got our first usage share report from Ad Duplex. To me, the more interesting thing is not the fact that nobody's using this yet. 1.4% of Windows 10 PCs out in the world are running this new version. It's only been out a week or whatever. It's more about, to me, the previous version, right? So here we are as a new version has just shipped. The latest version of Windows 10, 31% of PCs are using it. If you go back in time and you look at what the percentage of PCs on the previous versions were back when the last version was released, it was 90%. So this latest version of Windows, not the one they just released, but the one before, is on one third as many computers as its predecessor was at the same point in its time frame. And that's how, you know, that's how badly that release went.
Mm. Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
There's no reason at this point to not go to...
I think my house is flooding. I've never heard this sound before. It sounds like water.
Oh, boy.
Do you want to investigate? Go investigate.
I know.
It's just raining really hard, but it's weird. Okay, I'm sorry.
I don't want you to float away.
I know. I think you should check it out.
Just check it.
What does a tornado sound like?
Well, weirdly.
I've been in one once.
It's silent right up to the point where it kills you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's not silent out. It's very loud.
Okay. So I think you're okay. But
if it gets suddenly quiet, Paul, do you have anywhere?
Does that mean I'm in the eye?
Yeah.
Am I looking for a woman looking for Toto or something? Like, what?
Yeah.
No, that's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your little dog, too.
And your little dog, too.
Yeah, 1903, is there any reason not to go to it? I've seen some people getting stuck with things. Like that weird printing thing that Brad had where you have to disable printing drivers.
Microsoft prints a PDF and XPS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not the only one having that. I've had a few people with that.
Okay.
So that's one.
So I guess if you try to upgrade and it rolls back, that's something you could look into. You'll get one of those something happened dialogues, which are incredibly useless, but it will have an error code on it. And if you look it up, it might say you need to temporarily in the Windows features control panel turn off Microsoft Print to PDF and XPS services, the old print, you know, the Microsoft's old alternative to PDF. And that should do it.
Yeah. And then there was also certain AMD RAID drivers were blocking some people, too, I think. So it's like kind of one-off things. It's not a massive meltdown kind of a situation where, you know, no one's talked about losing data. No one's talked about Kindles not working or any of that stuff we had. Yikes, where's that?
We have some video from outside Paul's window.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's like.
So this is what happens. It starts, I mean, if you go, this is a three-minute video at the beginning. It's just raining.
Just
raining a little bit. About halfway in, a minute in, the wind starts to pick up a little bit.
Yep.
A little bit, just a little bit. And then pretty soon, things are flying through the air. And you should probably run inside because.
Definitely. To the basement.
Don't be near the glass. Here's the garage door caved in.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look like that yet.
Okay,
but
good.
It really
looks
raining.
Like this, right? It's just this part.
No, it's worse than that. It's the middle one.
Well, Paul, I'm just saying, this is 2 minutes before the garage door went. I'm just saying.
Yep.
Okay, just a little hint. You know, how many people died in Alabama this?
I know, it's a lot. It was terrible. It's not, no laughing matter, guys.
It's not a joke, and that's why, Paul, I'm serious. Maybe
Okay. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it if it's
the storm cellar, Paul. Oh, you don't have one?
Are you in the basement or not?
No.
At your house?
No.
Do you have
my
a basement?
In the basement? Yeah, we do have a
your
humongous
daughter
basement,
is
of
a
course.
Smart person in the family.
She is. Sure. She's already down there.
You maybe next time wire up
the basement.
If I
go downstairs and there's like a lot of frogs and snakes and stuff, should I be worried?
Yes.
Also another sign of the apocalypse.
Yeah. Okay. We just care, Paul. We care about you. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, I think it's just.
It's a twister, Paul. It's a twister.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's scary.
It is scary. The thought of a tornado in New York City is.
I know.
Truly terrifying.
I think they've got to mean the outskirts. They can't mean like in New York.
Well, even where I live, it's literally a valley. It's surrounded by mountains. It's a very unusual place to have a tornado. But I mean, I guess the way the weather's going these days, you never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
Just protect the vineyards.
Right.
So, just to underscore this, if there were a place you could go, which apparently there is, a Microsoft downloader that could force the 1903 update.
Okay.
Would you recommend that?
Well, the people who are listening to this show, yeah, I mean, they've probably already
know what they're doing. Yeah. You know?
And there have been a couple of minor things.
Seeking is not necessarily enough, right? Seeking won't necessarily do it.
No. And it will be segregated in Windows Update. It won't be forced on you.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting myself.
Yeah, what's the hurry?
Not to wait another week or two.
There's
but
no hurry.
The big issue that Mary Jo mentioned about the PDF stuff is the upgrade happens and it rolls back. Like it's not a
right. It's not going to wreck your machine or anything.
Yeah,
right.
It's not a huge problem.
Okay, good. So they've licked some of the problems that plagued earlier.
Seems.
They're like TSA. They're always going for the last problem, you know? there's always going to be new problems.
I'm still taking my shoes off. That's all. You know what cracks me up is if you have a first class ticket, they almost always give you TSA pre. You just walk, walk right through.
Of course.
But I almost don't want to even say this, but the 9/11 guys were all in first class.
Of course, because you know what? You're not going to pay the credit card bill anyway. What's the difference?
Who needs the money, right?
Yeah. Okay. I think I would probably, if I was going to kill myself, I'd probably not worry about the spending. Yeah.
Enjoy this champagne. You know, and
yeah, that would be the least. Yeah. I think we're going to go to Capital Grill tonight.
Yeah. Boy, that's got dark fast. So, Edge.
Paul's last dinner will be steak.
Mine too. Actually, I'm going to eat carbs like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. I'd like all the cheesy bread, please.
I look at these beers you recommend and I go, I'll never have beer and cheesy bread again.
You might.
When I get to my goal weight, then I guess I could once in a while have a beer, right?
Yeah.
Leo, I like that you said when.
I'm going to. Yeah. Oh, you know what? It's working.
Yeah. Right. That's good.
It's working. I weigh less than I've weighed in 10 years.
Yeah. Congratulations. Very nice.
And my blood sugar is normal.
Great.
I'm no longer in the diagnostic category type 2 diabetes.
That's great.
Yeah. My blood pressure is normal.
Wow.
I'm just so as long as my liver doesn't give out. Apparently that's the problem.
It's ironically you stressed your liver with all this healthy living.
Yeah. A ketogenic diet turns out to be really hard on your liver.
Yeah. How do you feel about being attached to a machine, you skinny bastard?
But I'll be thin, right? That's all I care about.
Yeah.
You'll be wasting away. I'll be good. But
so I don't know if you're going to talk about this, but there have been several reports that Google is blocking Kredj from using the latest version of YouTube. And it's as simple as a string that says, if Kredj is the user agent, don't go here. But you can change the user agent and it works.
Yeah, but in the amount of time it took us to tell this story, it's already been fixed.
Yep.
It's really not.
So it wasn't like a malicious.
I don't think so. Listen, it's too early for us to worry about this kind of stuff. There's a couple of stories. Google's doing this. Google's doing that. This thing is in super early pre-release. It's not even in beta.
Right.
So let's not freak out about this stuff now. Yesterday when everyone was freaking out, I was like, guys, come on. This is not malicious. Relax. And then you wake up today and it's already fixed. It's fine. Your dark mode's back.
But
you're all
Paul,
good.
There was... And I saw it, a specific string in the code that says if it's Edge.
But, Leo, they're not checking version strings. It can't be that. I'm not saying Google's not evil. I'm not saying they won't do terrible things. I'm just saying they haven't yet.
It feels like maybe it wasn't company policy, but somebody definitely.
Okay.
Maybe they thought, it won't work, so we don't want – or maybe it's not. We don't know if it's going to work, so we just don't want – we want to block it. Anyway, it's
like
back
someone's
now.
Throwing
because
yeah.
they got caught. Yeah, so again, a tornado sounds like somebody's throwing a box at your house. That's exactly.
Okay.
No, I a lot of people are saying to us, come on, why aren't you guys talking and writing more about Google and being evil and doing all this stuff to cringe? I agree with Paul. I think it's too early to talk about that. And so far, every time this has happened, it's gotten undone. There may be a time when Google blocks Microsoft.
And then let's make a big deal about it.
But here's the thing, by the way. Here's how you knew this was a non-issue. Yesterday, when this was happening, if you went with the new Edge to YouTube and you got the old experience, the reason you knew this was just a mistake slash nothing was if you went with the old Edge, it worked fine. So they're not blocking Edge. They're not doing something against Microsoft. Like, it's just a I'm sure that Google must change YouTube every day. They update things, whatever. I just there's nothing to be concerned about.
So far, so good. Let's be optimists.
Well, let's be realistic. I mean, I'm not saying they won't do something in the future. I mean, it's Google.
Same.
But this is not it. That's all I'm saying. This is not evidence of anything.
Okay.
So far, so good.
Calm down.
Everybody, calm.
It's going to be okay.
Except where I live, where it's clearly not going to be okay.
Exactly.
So what do you hear now, Paul? Just tell us. Give us an idea.
Thunder. And what appeared, I thought it was, I've looked twice because I thought it was hail, because it sounds like someone's throwing rocks at my window.
Oh, that's fine. That's just your shingles on the roof being ripped off.
Yeah. It's graphite from the reactor.
The reactor, You've been watching Chernobyl, haven't you?
Yeah, you think?
Holy cow.
Yep.
That is the grimmest show, but I can't stop watching it. It's awesome.
It is
so awesome. And then I see a blog post. The acting's superb. A blog post from Marksy Marlinspike, the guy behind Open Whisper Systems and Signal, who, with his friends, just decided to break into the Chernobyl exclusion zone and ride their bikes around and take pictures.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing that now because, you know, it's been 10,000 years. It's fine.
Yeah, right. What is the half-life of plutonium? I mean, honestly, cesium, no big deal.
It was like 30 years, right?
Yeah, nothing. Nothing.
Yeah,
I like the part in the show where Gorbachev's at the meeting of the Central Committee, and they say, well, if the core does melt through the concrete, it will poison all the water in the Soviet Union for the next 10,000 years.
Right. So he's like, he said something like, are you sure about the timeline? And he said, let's just say it will be in our lifetime.
In our lifetime.
You know,
there'll be drinkable
will not
water.
Be,
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Moxie at least was smart enough to say we won't drink any water or eat any food in the Chernobyl exclusion zone.
Hunt any animals?
No.
I see a three-headed deer. Fantastic. Let's have that over a fire.
All right. Our amuse-bouche is over. We return to Windows Weekly already in progress. Bing.
Boy. Yeah.
10.
Bing 10. It's 10 years old.
I don't know that I would have guessed it was 10 years old.
Me neither. I wouldn't have. I would have guessed older.
So what were the original names of Microsoft search engines? Anyone remember?
No, don't say that. That's code name of the week.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Okay. Oh, no, not the code names. I mean the original, the original.
Oh, yeah. So Live Search. Live Search
was the one that was right before Bing.
Yep.
Before that, it was Windows Live Search.
Yeah, that's right.
Because Live was we should mention Live didn't refer to things being alive. It was the name of, it was Microsoft's brand name for their,
it's the online brand, yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. And before that, it was, remember, they had Windows Live and Office Live. So it was Windows Live Search briefly. And then before that, it was MSN Search.
Yep. Yeah. Remember when they first, so when we say Bing is 10 years old, we mean the rebrand of Live Search to Bing is 10 years old. And
Bing itself, yeah.
Right. But remember when they introduced Bing and they called it a decision engine and we all made fun of that? We're like, oh, what does that even mean? It's not a search engine. It's a decision engine.
So what they were trying to say was like, look, you can go anywhere to get straight up search results.
Yep.
But if you're trying to make a decision.
Come to us.
What was the name of the lady? Didn't they have a lady video? Remember that? Mrs. What's her name?
Yeah, I do kind of remember that. There was a woman.
Was that pre-Bing? I think it was. It was.
You know what Bing never got? You know what? No, Bing never got, at least not ironically, the verb, right? Like people say I'm Googling something, but no one ever says I'm Binging something unless it's a comedy show on TV and they're trying to make fun of Bing.
I say it ironically.
That's what I mean. Like, nobody ever, like, they never got that. Like, it's just, nobody ever says that.
Oh, I'm trying to find the Miz. It was
me
Miz.
Too. I'm like, who was that? I remember.
Ms. Dewey.
Right. Yes. Ms. Dewey.
Yes. I do not remember this. Can you show?
I know. Well, oh, come on. You remember this.
Because if I, because she used to diss me.
Would you describe her as a doer? Is that why she was Bing?
Yeah, I think
I bet
that is why.
There's a YouTube video if I look for it.
Mrs. Dewey. Or was it Ms.?
Ms. Dewey.
I really don't remember this.
Here's Ms. Dewey. I don't know if you remember this.
No gold tooth, ghetto fabulous motherfucking step.
Oh, wait a minute. That's not it. That's not it.
I don't think
wait a minute. That's
it.
Not it. It is it, but it's not it. Okay, mute.
Oh, that is awesome. That would have made tons of sense.
But that was Ms. Dewey.
Is that what she looked like?
Yeah, it was the weirdest.
Oh, I absolutely do not remember this.
You don't remember,
you remember
Ms.
this?
Dewey?
No, I don't.
Come on.
Maybe the second one down.
Let's try this one. Maybe this is more appropriate.
Be careful.
Right there, page 3 of the writer, green peanut. No claim. Oh,
apparently there's Ms. Dewey outtakes.
Holy
cow. I mean, this seems like something I'd remember, but I do not. That's really funny.
What the what? Well, it was, I don't think they intended it to be a search engine. I think the idea was.
Decision
engine. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but that's just. That's nonsense.
Here, look. This is the one I remember. Hold on. Hold on a second. Hold on.
I can't find it. Link to it now.
Hold on a second. This is definitely the real thing.
So this is pre-Bing. Is that right?
I think this was with Bing.
Promotional thing they were doing.
I don't remember this.
Ms. Dewey is thinking. See, it's in an XP.
Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, weighing 157 pounds, the world's loneliest man.
That's if you search for Leo Laporte.
There, look at Wikipedia. Ms. Dewey comes up. Dewey.
Yeah. Does it explain where the hell it came from?
A viral marketing campaign started by Microsoft 2006.
So it does predate Bing.
I have never seen this in my life.
You never seen this?
No, you have.
I know it's not possible, right? But I don't. Maybe this is the beginning of my dementia. I don't remember it.
Here it is. We did this in Canada. Call for Help Canada. This is me and Callie Lewis. Playing with Ms. Dewey.
Trying to compete with Google in the future.
Yeah, so not in their really, own game.
Exactly. They're trying to jump ahead of Google and see, kind of come up with their own idea of what the future will be.
Okay. I know that sounds vain, but I know what the search results should be for my own
exactly.
name.
Exactly. So she thinks for a while, for a little bit, and then...
Oh, brother.
Who is Leo Laporte?
There's a reason why they call the TV the Idiot Box. And I think I found it.
Oh,
oh my God.
Oh.
That hurt.
That is horrible.
That's bad.
That's my memory of Ms. Dewey.
Wow.
I like her. She's way cooler than Cortana.
It was pre-Cortana.
Yeah, it was. It was live search. It was like when they were trying to build up the live search.
So it was pre-Bing, but it was shortly before Bing.
You know, Microsoft would never make anything like this today. Ever,
it's
ever,
funny,
ever.
Actually.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
You can remember Gmail, man, but you don't remember that?
Fondly. Did Mark Penn have anything to do with Ms. Dewey?
I bet he did.
I don't believe
2006,
he did.
What was the...
I hope he did not, because that'll give Paul another reason to idealize him.
So here's another thing we can ask Ms. Dewey. When did Bing turn a profit, if ever?
Right.
Yeah.
What's the answer, Ms.
Once,
Dewey?
Once, right?
Took a while.
It was a one-time thing, wasn't it? Like a...
No, it's still profitable now.
Oh, is it?
Okay. But it took them until 2015 to turn a profit.
So MSN Search, do we know when that started? That could date back to even the late 90s. I mean, possibly. Mm-hmm. 99, mm-hmm. something like that. So 15 years-ish, maybe.
Yeah. Well. But if you remember on all the earnings calls, every earnings call, an analyst would ask, When's Bing finally going to be profitable? Like, it would come up every single time, and they'd be like, you know what? We're really close to breaking even with Bing, and we do see the light at the end of the tunnel. Those comments went on for years, and finally,
was this like the year they got the Yahoo thing? Or I mean,
it was after Yahoo. So Yahoo played into it, the Yahoo deal that they did, but it was also because they were spending a lot to build out all the data centers that ran Bing. So they were spending a lot of money and not making a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's been a rough road for Bing. But I think by most accounts now it has about 30% share. Is that right?
Yeah, wow. That's not right. No.
I think it's something like that.
No, it's nothing like that.
Can't possibly be true. that's only because
it's under 10%. Yeah, you might be
thinking maybe in Europe it's higher or something.
No, it's lower in Europe. It's possible more dominant in Europe, yeah.
In the United States, it might be double digits somewhere, but it's in worldwide, it's less than 10. It's like 8.something%.
I use the Bing wallpaper. Does that count?
So Microsoft claims Bing has 33% market share in the U.S.
What?
Well,
and how they measure that, we don't know, right?
Let's see what does NetApplications have to say about that?
As we know from other stats they've given us, sometimes they have interesting ways of counting.
When Yahoo used it, I would imagine it was higher because a lot of people used Yahoo. Does Yahoo still use Bing?
Yahoo still uses it, and their contract runs out this July.
Oh, well, there you go. That's when Bing becomes single digits again.
But don't the Yahoo media properties like TechCrunch use it? Or they use Bing ads. I'm thinking about Bing ads.
Well, profit from Bing is from Bing ads, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of people who use that. What is that thing where you get a little credit for using Bing?
Rewards.
Bing rewards. I think people use Bing rewards.
They do.
Sure.
If you Bing, what is Bing's market share?
Bing it.
Let's Bing it. Maybe Bing would know.
I guess
that's Dewey. Bing market share 2019. Let's see. Five hard truths about today's market. Well, that's a good title.
That's probably not it.
Bing is number two. Bing, Yahoo, and Baidu are number two, three, and four after Google.
Not according to net market share, but.
Oh.
Baidu's number two according to them.
Because Baidu's in China.
Yeah, 10%.
Nobody has a presence in China.
Right.
Okay. Well,
it's still around.
It exists.
Yes, it is.
It's 10 years old. According to, here it is, the global search market worldwide. Ah, that's the difference. 76% Google, 15% Baidu, 4% Bing, 2% Yahoo, 0.6% Yandex. But that's global.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So global.
Yeah, Microsoft makes the higher predictions around U.S. share only.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah, it's odd that Bing gave me that as the first. Let me see. Let's put U.S. market share.
Well, or is it odd, Leo? one of the problems with Bing, as you may be discovering.
All right, here from Statista, which I think probably is using. What is it? ComScore that's the best or NetApp?
Net market share. This is according to Microsoft.
Wow, this starts in 2008. It was 58% Google, 9% Bing. Bing briefly, January 2010, when it started, 11%, then 11.8%, then 11. So it was double digits for a little while, then all the way up to the high point, which looks like 2015 was 20% in April 2015. No,
so you're looking at desktop numbers or combined numbers? Because that's the other issue. If you look at mobile, Bing has 0.4.
Yes, yeah, so here's the problem. Like there's statistics, there's lies, damn lies, and then there's statistics. So January 2019, Google 63%, Microsoft 24.5%, Oath or Yahoo 11.5%. But I bet you that's desktop. I bet you anything that's desktop.
Well, it's got to be U.S. only, too.
And it is. Yeah, I'm looking at the U.S.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the U.S. Here's ComScore. Let me look at them. No, 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 that's not useful.
I bet a mobile Google is 90-something percent.
Well, yeah, because Apple uses Google, don't they? Yeah. Do you feel that Bing offers a privacy alternative to Google? Might people use it for that?
I have never been satisfied with Bing, and I always go back to Google.
Yeah, me too. I try.
I think the way I would say it is Microsoft should, if they're serious about Bing, promote it that way. Mm. But I'm not aware of anyone. I mean, they're the number one. If you're worried about Google, which I think a lot of people are, they're absolutely the number one. Not. Oh, there's the alert.
Well, I think it's time to run from the house and run around crazily in your cul-de-sac.
Until how do I turn this?
Until the wind picks you up and takes you away.
Wow. What does it say on the alert? Area.
What is tornado warning?
15, yeah, tornado warning for the next 15 minutes.
Paul, I would take that. Take shelter, Paul.
Yeah, but come on.
That's what they say, and then they get...
What am I, a whip?
A witch's house on them.
Look out the window. Actually, Do you see Dorothy's house spinning around?
Don't get near glass.
Guys, nothing is going to happen because it's totally quiet now.
That's the giveaway.
Right. Totally I'll look outside. Will that make you feel better?
Yeah, it would.
Do you have a window near there?
Yeah, I have a window right there.
All right,
stay away from the window.
If the view is different, should I be worried?
Wow.
So the one time I was in a tornado, I was in Kansas, and I was outside. I was playing ball with my stepdaughter, and all of a sudden I look out and I saw the cyclone cloud. And my mother-in-law at the time yelled in, "What are you two doing out there? Get in here." It's like, no joke. No joke.
What do you see, Paul?
So it's weird.
Do you see a cyclone cloud?
Weird is the word you don't want to use.
No.
So before it was super loud and rainy and weird, and now it's like super sunny but really wet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're in the eye of the storm.
I'm in the eye. Yeah. The eye of the hurricane. I don't know. It's okay. I'll be okay.
Well, at least we'll have video of it when it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yikes. Yep. I'm looking at the weather map, and you have the bright, dark orange cloud right over your area, right, Allentown and all in there. It's right there.
If I go to Dark Sky and look at Emmaus, is that where you are technically? Because we never know.
No, Lower McKenzie.
You really are Lower McKenzie? That's really?
Yeah, that's where I am physically, yeah.
Lower? I don't even know how to spell
McKenzie. But look how this cloud is coming right towards New York. Look at that.
You guys are just scaring me.
It's coming our way.
Tornado watch, Lower McKenzie Road, Upper McKenzie Township, PA. Is that close enough?
Yep, that's close. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if we should be using Dark Sky to determine whether Paul should evacuate.
Yeah, I don't think we should be counting on it.
I assume if there's a tornado, my wife will open the door and break through the fourth wall between the podcast and real life and say, hey, maybe we're going to go in the cellar.
Stop. Yeah, you should probably stop podcasting.
I'll get a text message. We'll say, we're all in the cellar.
Where are you?
Are you, Paul?
I thought we'd tell you afterwards.
Well, let me ask you this. How close are you and your wife these days?
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Well, we just celebrated our 29th anniversary.
Yes. Aww, probably wouldn't want to lose you just yet. Why do I keep getting Centerville, PA? Is that near you?
So.
Every time I type Lower McKenzie. Lower. I really want to see.
The message is really alarming, I have to say.
As it should be.
No kidding. That's why it's called an alarm.
Take shelter now. What is this? Like shelter in place?
And Paul, you're like those guys who say, well, that doesn't mean me. Just tornado watch. Rain starting in 30 minutes.
It was raining heavily before. So, I mean, most of that stuff, if I'm understanding this map, we're right under that.
Where are you? Where are you on this?
That dark cloud over there to the right?
Like 78 and 29. You can't really see it on that map, though.
It looks like you're all right. This map is missing those little arrows, though, that say which is going which, but it looks like everything's going east.
Right.
Yeah, it's all going due east. So there's Allentown, Bethlehem.
Where is that? Point to Allentown?
Allentown's right here.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we're sold to that.
So you're here.
So I think
there's
that,
the diamond. I see the diamond.
Yeah, that's me. That's probably me.
That's why it's not raining. Yeah, it says Paul Theroux right here.
Yeah. Actually, I pretty much am right there. So that thing that's to the right is probably the weird rain.
Yeah. You're fine. Unless this is precipitation. Do tornadoes show up? Let's look at wind speed.
Yeah. No, it's very calm out there right now, Leo. It's in fact, it's oddly calm.
It is. It's oddly calm. That's what they said right before the tornado hit. Feels like they should have a tornado radar.
Like a barometer type thing. Doesn't a barometer go flying off the charts when there's a tornado?
Right, let's look at the
I'm going to go back and watch Twister again. I don't remember how this works.
Is 1,000 high?
Exactly right. Is this metric or?
Wait. Here's the emoji. Cloud. They got a little frowny guy.
Oh yeah,
little frowny guy. That's the emoji. That's report.
I think that might be a confused face.
Yeah,
it's curiously sunny. Given how much rain we just had,
I don't know what to look at. Temperature feels like cloud cover, precipitation. Wind speed, I guess wind speed is about the closest, and it's not bad.
Yeah. It doesn't look like much.
No, I don't see anywhere where it's over 15 kilometers per hour, so you're all right. You're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
That's what I'm thinking.
What does the poop emoji mean in the context of a weather forecast?
It means it's not so nice outside.
I think this, I don't know, I've never seen this on Dark Sky, the emoji forecast. But Paul's emoji
he hates emoji.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm giving him the emoji.
I've never heard of any of these places.
That's good. Pain, I like that you're doing it.
Yeah. This is Paul's emoji cast.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just for you.
Yeah. Some people are confused.
I literally have heard of none of those towns other than Allentown and Bethlehem.
Okay.
Which is really funny because
Haynes
they might.
Or Zion Hill or Longsdale?
Nope.
Chauffeur? Or is it Schofer? Nope.
It's definitely Chauffeur, but I don't know.
I think this is that yellow dot is Paul right there. You're okay, Paul.
I am roughly right there. I will say that. That's probably pretty
amazing. Okay, let's continue on.
Let's try to plow through before
plow
he
through
has
before
to.
Before the tornado shelter. Plows through.
Yeah.
Lower Macungie Valley. Really, it seems silly to talk about the IntelliMouse Pro when Paul's life is in peril, but let's go ahead and do it.
What? So, about a year and a half, Microsoft announced a new version of its classic IntelliMouse mouse, and literally looked just like the old. It's like one of those righty-only things from the late 90s. It's the red light on the bottom, remember? Wired, not wireless, right? Apparently, this was such a big success. They're making a pro version of it now. This one actually comes in two colors. You can configure the color of the light that comes out of the bottom. It's still wired, for maximum performance. It's aimed at gamers, pretty much, and professionals who miss this mouse for some reason. Also, still a righty mouse. So if you're a lefty, Microsoft doesn't care about accessibility with this one product.
Is it this mouse? No.
That's probably the not. Yeah, I think that might. Let me look at
this one. Yeah, this one's agnostic. That's why I use it.
That one. Okay, so that's a later thing. This is a
IntelliMouse
older
optical
version.
USB, it says.
Yeah. So the new version, I assume
bought a dozen of these because I love them. They're my favorite mouse.
I assume to be authentic, the mouse also plugs in via the PS2 port.
Right. No, it's a USB. Come on. No, I love these mice so much. And they're cheap.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't need the pro version. I bought a dozen of them. I've got, whenever anybody says I need a mouse, I got them.
So that was kind of a more modern take on it. Obviously, it's ambidextrous. That's cool.
Yeah.
The original IntelliMouse was righty only.
Yeah, I'm a lefty.
This one,
so I hate
the pro version, is righty only. Yeah. I don't know why, but.
Yeah. So do you think this is like a fun retro thing for them? Is this why they're doing it? Or, is there really a reason for gaming to have this mouse?
Yeah, yes,
there is.
A wired mouse actually does provide better performance.
Okay, so that's why they call it a gaming mouse, right?
But also, it's the number. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Razer mice and other mice talk about the resolution of the mouse, the number of points.
Oh,
so right. It may have something to do with that too.
That could be. That I do not know if it has a better resolution. That could be. That makes sense. Yeah, it's not a ball mouse, right? It's a.
Nobody uses those anymore. Does anybody use those?
Trackballs?
No, no, no. But I mean,
no, not trackballs. No, it's like a ball underneath.
This is a retro mouse. So, no, it's a light. Remember, I said it had a red light. So, I think I could be wrong, but I believe the original IntelliMouse was the first non-ball mouse that Microsoft made. It had a red light, and I think they used red because it tracked better on surfaces than other colors or something. Although, actually, they later changed to blue, so maybe that's not true. Anyway, you can configure the color. It's not just red. I don't know why they made this. I don't understand.
Like I said, I'm a fan.
Well, I think like a gamer, most gamers would probably want a bigger mouse. Plus, they have those mice that have configurable buttons for different functions.
Yeah, that may be true. You want configurable. Oh, yeah, I'm looking at your article now. This is what you mean when you say it's for righties.
Yeah,
A little swoop in it.
Yeah, and you can see, so the original color is probably closer to the one on the left.
Yeah, the silver kind of steel gray.
Yeah.
Okay, so I what I have is not the same. Know what it is.
Also, I speculated on the price of this thing, and I was wrong. The classic IntelliMouse is about $40 at the Microsoft store. The pro version is going to be, I want to say, I think it's 50 or 60. I can't remember.
Wow.
It's actually not that much more.
Introducing the new Microsoft Classic. Oh, this is the Classic.
Yeah, that's the old one. So that's the one they released about a year and a half ago. Uh-huh. That's not the pro version.
I don't want
the
Classic. I want...
No. I don't think you want either one of those.
All right. There is a whole category at the Microsoft store on mice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's this one? That's interesting.
I use a giant, it's like a giant ball mouse. Like it looks like a softball. Yeah, there it is on the left there.
The Sculpt ergonomic mouse?
Sculpt. Yeah. So it's, by the way, also a righty-only mouse. I am a righty. But because of issues like I would probably have with not tonight. What do you call it?
Oh, this carpal tunnel syndrome. So your thumb rests on that ridge there.
Yeah. Oh, I find this to be this has really helped me a lot.
Why the hell? They're 11% of the world or something is lefty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hurt because I would this.
But here's what makes this worse. They can make cars for the UK and Japanese market where they switch the steering wheel and everything to the other side
all
of the
way
vehicle.
Over. Imagine what
are
that
you telling
takes?
Me that doing a reverse of this in a mold is hard? Like what?
Come on.
I'm guessing the problem would be someone might just pick one up and not realize it was the lefty one and be disappointed. You know, I'm sure that's kind of the issue. But most people buy stuff online now. My God,
almost all of these, by the way, are righty mice.
Basic one, like the wireless mobile mouse, the basic one is those are both ambidextrous. But yeah, I mean the Arc mice are all ambidextrous. But that's a little piece of garbage right there.
But, hey, it does actually look like a mouse, so it's got that going for it.
Yes, there's no confusing its purpose.
It looks like a mouse.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't see a whole lot of ambidextrous ones. The modern one, I use that on Surface.
The Arc Touch mouse is. The Sculpt looks like it is. The modern mouse is. Actually, I have one of those here.
The Sculpt absolutely looks like a righty mouse, doesn't it?
Does it?
Yeah. Why have a video button if there's no video? That's my question. The Arc is cool. That's agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't like that mouse at all, the Arc.
Now I'm glad I bought those dozen of the old school because they don't seem to sell those anymore. The old school IntelliMouse. I'm glad I bought those. Mm. Boy, how do we get 15 minutes out of a mouse? I don't know. Let's talk.
It's like when we talk about icons.
I know. There's certain things. The
smaller mouse, I don't think, is particularly interesting, but yeah, Xbox.
Bye, Mary Jo. Go
bye.
have a cup of tea.
I often say this is not going to take a long time. This is not low.
Okay. I'm going to go get a salad, so go ahead.
All right, so Microsoft is releasing a new Fortnite bundle that has a purple Xbox One S. So if you've always wanted a purple Xbox, this will somehow fit into your home decor. I don't want to know. That thing is coming very soon. They haven't officially announced it. I guess we saw like pictures of it. If you're using the messaging experience in Xbox, and this is true on the mobile app, I think it's true on the Windows 10 app, they're actually changing the infrastructure for how messaging works. So you're going to see some new interfaces there. And they're basically just going to bring it back up to speed, which is the way it was before. But they had to make some back end changes to make the service better. So the apps are all changing. And actually, I think that's already happened. I think that's gone out. But the more interesting thing in many ways is because we know that gaming is heading to streaming, that the future of video games is streaming, I was interested to see that a company called IHS had done a report looking at cloud as a platform for gaming, with the understanding that, you know, 5G is going to happen. These things will all switch over from some point onwards, you know, maybe 2022, 2023. The cloud gaming market is going to be humongous, right? And so today, that market on an annual basis is only worth $387 million. That's probably as much money as Microsoft makes on mice today. But it's supposed to be $2.5 billion within four years. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, but here's the interesting statistic. I think you have to pay for the report. I didn't see the full list of services, but the number one player in cloud gaming, cloud streaming of games, cloud game, cloud.
What gotta be Microsoft, here? Right? I mean, or is it
no.
Sony?
No, because they don't stream.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, of course.
The Microsoft stuff you download, right? Yeah. So it's actually Sony PlayStation Now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so they are responsible for about 36% of that $387 million. I'm terrible at math. I did some math. So it works out to about $90 million in revenues per year from the service. And if you look at the cost of that service for an individual, depending on how you pay for it, the way it averages out, it's about $180 a year. Suggests there are potentially 500,000 PlayStation Now subscribers, if my math is correct, which, again, you should
it's
probably
really
not.
Really not, but I'm not going to belabor it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not very much. But if you want to compare it to something, there are 36 million PlayStation Plus subscribers. That's the PlayStation version of Xbox Live Gold, Xbox Live, I should say. There are 100 million PlayStation 4 consoles that Sony has already sold. So, you know, it's kind of a tiny drop in the bucket compared to the overall size of the Sony PlayStation market today. But again, this is the scalability, you know, this is going to scale out at a dramatic rate. So that will change in the future. I just thought it was kind of interesting that you know, someone put some numbers to game streaming today. You know, you don't really see a lot of that kind of thing.
Well, I think it's a baseline, right? Because it's about to explode, I would guess.
Oh, yeah. From 387 million to 2.5 billion in 4 years. Watch Paul do math on the top of his head. What's 3 times 5? 15 times. That's like a 15x. I think.
You're like my trainer. I'll start lifting a weight and he'll just make up a number. 8.
3 times 2. 9. 2.5. No, I did the math wrong. It's 6.
I know you did.
Just say big. It's big.
It's 6, 8.
Too bad Microsoft doesn't ship a calculator.
It's an 8X. It's about an 8X. I don't know what it is. It's a big number.
It's a lot.
It's a big number.
Well, you got Microsoft coming online next year. You got Google Stadia someday.
Yeah. Look,
you know.
Guys, I'm a writer, okay? Not a mathematician. The point is, it's going to be big.
Good. I like that.
One too many.
Yes.
Right.
I need my toes for this one. Give me a second.
Hey, Mary Jo, have you used yet Google Pay or Apple Pay in the subway? Have you?
No, but I see the kiosk where I can do it, so I'm thinking about trying it out on the phone.
I wish they'd do it at the turnstile, because if I could just Apple Watch my turnstile,
that's where it is.
It is.
It's at our turnstiles, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's like your turnstile has a thing. It has a little, like, image on
it.
A
screen
you can put
on
your,
it or whatever. Yeah.
Right there. Yeah.
And is it, do you have to have an app running, or is it just take the money?
I haven't tried it yet, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, it doesn't start until Friday.
By the way, you do not have to have an app running.
You don't?
That's how it works. Nope, it just works. You have to have payment configured and all that kind of stuff, but as long as you have your phone, you just have to tap your phone to it.
They charge you onesie, twosie, like you don't get the, you know, day pass or the week pass or anything like that, but still.
Oh, so.
Still.
Well, whatever. The point, look. Convenience. You want to get on the train and get moving? You know, you got a train to catch, whatever, that's great. Yep. So you're not pulling a card out or something. You can do it with a credit card too, by the way, if you have a tap card.
That's why I'm moving to New York tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
It really could help if people start using it, because you see so many people getting hung up at the turnstile. Yes. Right,
it slows down the flow. And mostly they're people, tourists like me, going,
whereas people whose cards have run out.
Or the card gets demagnetized. Right now it's a little paper thing with a strip that gets demagnetized at the drop of a hat. So.
Yep.
This will be so nice. Good for Apple and Google, by the way. Google Pay will be supported too. I'm sorry, I wasn't talking to you.
Sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm. By the way, that's John Legend.
Why do you hate me? Oh my God. I need Mrs. Dewey and Miss Dewey in my kitchen.
Miss Dewey would be awesome.
You know? Hey, fatty.
What?
Get away from the fridge.
Exactly. You know, eat a freaking salad.
Coming out of like a smart speaker somewhere in the kitchen.
That would be really awesome.
She's on the little screen going,
I would pay
Miss. She could be Cortana's friend.
I would pay to have Miss Dewey in my phone.
Love that.
That would be awesome.
I need that kind of sass in an assistant, you know?
A little sass. We're going to take a break. Back of the book coming up. Paul's tips, apps, enterprise, code name, and beer. All the major food groups coming up. But first, I do want to remind you that survey continues. It focuses on how you use collaborative software at work. Just takes a few minutes. We'd appreciate you doing it. If you want to help us out a little bit, twit.to/survey14. And I should mention our show, this section of our show brought to you by Capterra. I love Capterra because it saves me a lot of time. People call the radio show and say, yeah, I run a yoga studio. What kind of software would you recommend? I don't know. Downward Dogware. I don't know. But in fact, Capterra does. Capterra is a directory of every line of business program you can imagine in every category, 700 categories. So it's, yeah, the big ones like CMS. In fact, we've been using it to choose a CMS. Email marketing, IT service, search engine optimization, workflow management, but also things like veterinary office management or dental office management or plumbing supply management. I mean, it's everything. You go to Capterra.com, you pick the category, pick the software you're looking for. It'll show you every single program in that category. You can then narrow it down, filter it down, say, I only want the best reviewed software. I only want stuff that runs on-prem or I only want stuff that runs in the cloud. I want to be able to schedule appointments. Whatever features you need, it'll narrow it down even further to make sure you only see the programs that do exactly what you want to do. You can even line them up side by side and compare them. And then once you get an idea of the ones you think that might work, look at the reviews because this is where Capterra shines. Capterra has over 900,000 reviews, and there's 1,000 new reviews every day from, and Capterra is very careful about this, from people who actually use the programs, verified users. So everything you need to make an informed decision is there. Don't call Leo. Don't Google it. Don't ask Ms. Dewey. Just go to Capterra.com/windows. Capterra believes the software makes the world a better place because software can help every organization become a more effective, efficient version of itself. You know what I believe? You shouldn't have to still use that software that requires Windows XP and IE 8. Stop. Stop the insanity. I know you are. I know a lot of you are. Go to Capterra.com/windows and find something modern that really will do the job. We were using software an intern wrote for us 6 years ago for our CRM. And we finally just said, this is ridiculous. Why are we using this? I know there's plenty of businesses out there that are using something, you know, the boss's high school kid wrote. Now he's gone. They're suffering. Don't suffer. Go to Capterra, Capterra, Capterra.com/windows. I buried the lead because you might think, well, that sounds good. How much is that going to cost me? Nothing. Capterra is free. Not freemium. Free. Cost you nothing. Capterra.com/windows. Capterra is software selection simplified, and it really is a great tool. Now, let's do a little Paul Thurrott and the tip of the week. Paul?
Yes. So, I don't remember when this was. I guess I could have done 10 seconds and researched this, but at some point this past month or two,
You got a tornado coming. You don't have time to do research.
My head is in other places right now, like Kansas.
Yeah. It's a shame because your body is in Lower McCunchy Valley.
Right, exactly.
We shouldn't make
fun.
I use
OneNote a lot. And OneNote now is the Windows 10 app. So it's a store app. It's a completely different platform than the other Office apps on Windows. And it works differently. So if you're familiar with how like cutting and pasting into Office apps works, you often get that little paste options pop up. You can choose on the fly if you want it as text, if you want it as with the full formatting or some combination of the two. You can set like the default paste. It's really nice. OneNote has not had that feature. Instead, you had to remember, in fact, it still works this way. You right click, choose paste, and then there's another menu that comes up, and then you can choose the type of paste. And it's kind of, it's ponderous, you know. And so I had had a tip of some number of weeks back where I talked about a utility can run in the tray and it will just convert everything that you copy and paste to text, if it's text, I mean, formatted text to plain text. And so as soon as I mentioned this, it turns out Microsoft had a beta version of OneNote for Windows 10 where there's a way to configure how paste works. And now it's available to everybody. So if you're using OneNote for Windows 10 and you go into settings, which I will try to do here, and then options, and you scroll down, you'll find a thing at the bottom called paste options. And you can just say default paste is text only. It's not intelligent like it is in the desktop apps. You know, in the desktop apps, there was this notion of what you were pasting from. Remember, like if you're pasting from another Office app, you might want to keep the formatting. But if you're pasting from an external app like a web browser, you might want it to just be plain text. It's not, it's just, it can only be one thing. So you could say keep text only. The other thing that's in there is a way to turn off the include link to source thing. So if you ever use OneNote again,
yeah,
yep, it's, I hate it too. You can turn that off now, which I've done, which is great. So it's not perfect. I mean, if for some reason you need formatted text, you still have to do that right click trick, I guess I'll call it. Non-discoverable OneNote feature, but at least now they do have a way in settings to turn off to configure the way that paste works. So we're getting there, just in time for them to get rid of this platform. So neat. But I use OneNote every day, so that's cool for me. And then the app pick I've actually handed off to Mary Jo because she had a really good idea for that this week.
Awesome. Oh, let me
turn. Is for iOS users, believe it or not.
Good. You don't even use iOS.
I hate iOS, but I'm giving you an app pick for it anyway.
You know, you can hate iOS, so but you don't have to hate iOS users, right?
Okay. Right. Yeah, maybe.
This is a nice feature.
So there is a feature that Microsoft first debuted earlier this year for Android users. It's now available for iOS devices. It's called Insert Data from Picture. And if you have the Excel mobile app on your iOS device, you can use the camera on your device to take a picture of data that's in a table, and it will automatically populate the Excel spreadsheet with that data.
That is so cool.
Like, think about that. You know how many times you look at a table and you're like, oh, I really would like to put all that data in there, but nope. What if you could just take a picture and it would just do it by itself? That's what this does. It uses optical character recognition and a little Microsoft AI magic. And there you go.
I think we're rapidly coming to a world where the phone and the camera understand what they're seeing.
Yes.
With Google Lens, they just put the menu features out that they were talking about at Google mm-hmm. I/O. It's really cool because that camera suddenly, which you have all the time, really mm-hmm. can be useful.
It can.
Yeah.
And especially so this can take. Right. Think of all the data types so that this can accommodate, like countries, zip codes, cities, all these kinds of things now. You can be populating your tables. And best of all, if you are not an Office 365 subscriber, although I don't know why you would not be, you don't need to have a subscription to use this feature. You can just download the Excel mobile app and use the insert data table from there. So that's the app pick.
Very sweet. Thank you. We segue right to the enterprise pick of the week.
Okay, so this is going to be a little complicated to explain, but this is super important if you're an IT admin. And I learned about this.
Family Guy video coming.
Okay, we're going to talk about WSUS and Config Manager. Yep. Guys, get serious. This is important. So if you're an IT admin and you are deploying or thinking about deploying Windows 10 1903 that just came out, you need to know about a setting that you need to check in a checkbox. Because if you don't check this setting, you are not going to get updates to 1903 at all. So you manually have to go in and check this box. I didn't know about this until Brian Dam, who runs the Damn Good Administrator blog, told me about this. But you need to go manually configure this. I asked Microsoft and they confirmed it. In fact, they subsequently wrote a blog post about it. And they said, yeah, we made this one-time change starting with 1903, where you have to go in and check this box in order to get any future updates to Windows 10. And if you don't check it, you're not going to get them. So I have an explanation on my site about exactly what to look for, where to go, what to check. And the Microsoft explanation for why this is happening is a little bit obscure. They say, we're doing it because of the Unified Update Platform, which I had not heard of, UUP. UUP is the technology that supposedly makes Windows updates happen. But there's a whole convoluted explanation of what's there so far in UUP, what isn't there, and why this change had to be done manually is because of UUP. So maybe one day we'll learn more about UUP. But for now, if you're an admin, just know you got to go check those boxes. Blah, blah, blah. You'll thank me later, guys. I know you think it's going to be boring, but it's very important. There is Steve.
I'm just teasing. Thank you, Justin Salvato. He's awesome.
That was the best.
Yeah, very funny. That was the best. Very funny. And by the way, yeah, Mary Jo's article is a great description of what you need to know and how you can do it. So
yes,
I would have showed that if I weren't so busy looking for
the cartoon.
Justin's tweet. Yes. Yeah, good stuff. Lots of information there. Now let's do a code name. We saved it just for you.
So in honor of Bing's 10th birthday, do you remember when Microsoft was exploring other names beyond Bing for what they were going to call the rebrand of Live Search?
No.
They were. They had a bunch of candidates. And the leading one was Kumo, K-U-M-O.
What?
You know what Kumo means in Japanese?
Oh, I hate to ask. What?
Spider.
Nice.
Self-flagellation.
Oh, yeah, it's spidering. I get it. Yeah.
Yep.
So, I hate myself, so I use Kumo.
But doesn't Kumo it have kind of a cool ring?
Kumo's okay. Kiev, Kumo, which is apparently also considered, is not a good name.
Why does it remind me of a later day Beach Boys song?
Kumo,
Kokomo,
Abubo, Kadubo, Dababa.
Yep.
Bing See? And Aruba, Kumo. Yeah, maybe in Kiev.
Yeah. But instead they went with Bing instead
Bing
of Kumo.
Bing is better. Bing is pretty good. I know we mock it.
It's hard to come up with a good brand.
It is. It is.
You and they needed something, the obviously, that was short, that would look good in URLs and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, it was a verb.
Works internationally.
The verb thing was kind of...
But no, that's, I'm sure what they were going
for. Oh, it has to work. Right, you're right. That's true. It has to work everywhere.
Yeah?
Yep.
I think Bing is kind of inspired. Also, I don't know if they knew the Monty Python, I see you have a machine that goes Bing. But
also, I don't know if they'd ever seen the show Friends.
Is Bada Bing in there?
No, the Chandler Bing was one of the main characters.
Oh, right. Now, remember when everyone joked Bing is not Google? That's what B-I-N-G was.
Bing is not Google. See, that would, if that was the rationale behind it, that would be make it a great name.
It would. I don't think that was, but it was a good story at the time. Yeah.
Yep.
I still like Kumo, though. Kumo it.
Yeah, see, that was smart not to do that, I think.
Yeah, Kumo. It was.
Kumo it is a hard thing to say. It's got
it
a weird, like,
it
Bing
is
it
things.
Is.
It's got to end with a G. It's got to end with a hard consonant.
It kind of does, yeah.
I think Kumo we can it. Thank Chris Capicella for naming it
properly. We can't market Kumo, guys. Get over
Kumo
it.
Kumo ain't going to work, guys. Chris would have known that. Chris would have said, Kumo it? Really? He would have known that.
Think we're entering the Chinese market with Kumo? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
By the way, did you know both Chandler and Bing are kinds of cherries?
Oh.
No, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Chandler is a kind of strawberry.
Oh.
No, they're both berries.
But they're both berries.
Does that mean he's a fruit, Leo? Is that what that means?
I think that might have been the... Overall,
it was the 90s.
It was the 90s. I think you deserve a beer today.
And I think you just foreshadowed my beer pick of the week.
Oh, yeah?
Is it called? It has to do with strawberry.
Oh, that was good. Called Tornado Brew.
No.
Tornado Stout.
No, the beer pick is Edmunds Oast Brewing, and their beer name is Fountain Drink. So remember last week I did a pastry stout? Now I'm doing a fountain drink. This is a quote, milkshake IPA.
Oh, jeez.
From Edmund's Oath.
Just drink something that tastes like beer, okay?
It tastes like beer, but man, it's delicious. It has a tiny essence of strawberry. And then they put in vanilla bean and milk sugar. Milk sugar is getting more and more common in many beers to give it body and smoothness. And it does taste dessert-like, but it still does taste like a beer. Believe it or not.
If you've never had
anything from Edmund's Oast, if you ever see them in your market, wherever you consume and purchase beer, they are excellent. They're from Charleston, South Carolina, and they make excellent beer.
That's cool. Oh, it says it right now. Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah.
It's on my to-do list. Not the beer.
I know. I would like to go there, too.
Me, too.
It would be fun.
Beautiful city. Yeah.
I hope it's still there.
And we didn't tell you this, Leo, but next week we're going to be in Amsterdam.
What? Oh, man, you guys get all the fun.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fast.
Yeah, it's kind of in and out.
Yes. But during Windows Weekly, we'll be there.
Yeah. We're going to do Windows Weekly as normal.
We are.
Just slightly jet lagged.
We'll both be in the dark and tired, but we're not doing it with a live audience because of the logistics or anything there, but we're going to speak at a conference called Experts Live NL, Netherlands. And so we're going to just do Windows Weekly at our normal time.
What time will it be for you? Like 9:30 at night, right? Or no, not that late.
Like so 9, 6 will be 10. 8. It'll start at 8 p.m.
8 p.m. That's not so bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Awesome.
And then I would say you could watch it get dark, but actually 10 p.m. in June.
It won't be light.
It's the land of the latish sun.
Mm-hmm. The latish sun. Yeah.
Late evening sun.
Like failed license plate slogans.com.
I'm very jealous. I love the Netherlands. I wish I could go with you, but we'll go with you in spirit.
Yes.
So
no tornadoes in the Netherlands, I'm told.
That's good.
It is good.
Beneath sea level, so if there were, it'd be kind of bad.
Don't want to be in the ground floor of the hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Alex knows all about this and is prepared to handle the complications involved.
There shouldn't be any complications. I think we're just going to do it from the hotel. So
just do a Skype.
Yeah. Just be straight up Skype.
We don't even care. Yeah. In fact, it usually works better if you're not in the U.S.
Oddly. Yeah. Oh, really? Well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then.
Depends on the country, but the Netherlands, absolutely. The bandwidth's superb.
Yeah.
Scandinavia, the Netherlands. Anywhere in the low countries.
Right. So, anywhere in the non-U.S. countries?
Anywhere, yeah. We invented the internet. We didn't say we'd give it to you.
We didn't say we'd perfect it.
No. Hey, thank you, Paul Theroux. Thank you, Mary Jo Foley. You guys rock. Mary Jo Foley can be found at her ZDNet blog, which is simply allaboutmicrosoft.com. Paul lives at Theroux.com. Don't know why. Theroux. His books and the Field Guide to Windows 10 is about to be updated for 1903. You will get it if you buy it. At lanepub.com. Get the posters, too. They're super cool. Next week from Amsterdam, but still 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time. And it's 1700 UTC. So figure out what time it is in your locale. If you're in Leipzig, well, you know. I don't know.
You
know
what I hope you know. You're not getting any help here.
Yeah, we have no idea. I crack myself up. Please do watch or listen live. The streams are available at twit.tv/live. If you do that, the chat room is a great place to hang out with the other folks watching and listening live. That's irc.twit.tv. On-demand versions of the show are available on YouTube or at twit.tv/WW for Windows Weekly, or even on your, smart device. If you say, for instance, Echo, listen to Windows Weekly podcast, it'll give you the latest version of Windows Weekly, which is kind of cool. And you can subscribe in your favorite podcast application. Somebody tweeted the other day, who uses RSS anymore? We do, in fact.
Me.
Are you kidding me?
That's how your podcasts work.
I use RSS every day.
Yeah, and your podcasts work that way, too. So we put out a feed, and your podcast program will automatically see the new shows ready and download it for you if you've subscribed. So make sure you do that. And that way you'll get it every single Wednesday the minute it's available. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Mary Jo. Paul, good luck with the weather.
Yeah.
It sounds like you dodged a bullet. I mean, but I don't.
I think so.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It's back.
The rain's back.
Okay.
It's there. Not as nasty as it was.
Join the family in the basement. And
it was literally as sunny as it could be, and now it looks like the darkest night again.
Mm.
Hmm. Wow. I'm going to stay right here. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.